Okay, good evening. This Shabbos is Parashas Vayechi, Shabbos Chazak, and Parashas Vayechi is always read in Chodesh Teves and in the vicinity of Asorah B'Teves. Asorah B'Teves always falls out in the week of Parashas Vayechi, either at the beginning or the end or close to the end like this year, but it's always in the week of Parashas Vayechi. In fact, tonight, Tes Teves is also a tragic day in which one of the reasons we fast Asorah B'Teves is because of what happened on Tes Teves and what happened today on Ches Teves. The Torah was translated into Greek on Ches. Tes is the day in which Ezra, Malachi, the last Navi we ever had, passed away. And being that he was the last Navi, so his death was so tragic because the era of prophecy came to an end. So prophecy came to an end on Tes Teves, in the month of Teves. And Asorah B'Teves, of course, is the day in which Nebuchadnezzar placed Yerushalayim under siege. So Yerushalayim is now in concealment. In fact, the common denominator between Ches, Tes, and Yud Teves, these 3 days, which we find ourselves right now in the middle of, are concealment. Concealment in Torah, concealment in Nevuah, and concealment concerning Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is closed. There's a siege around Yerushalayim. No one can come in, no one can come out. The Torah is placed under siege. The Torah is being contaminated. They're translating it into a foreign language. They're trying to bring Greek culture into the Torah. And the fact that there's no more Nevuah, there can be no greater concealment than that, there's no more prophecy. And after that, Klal Yisrael plunge into a period of Chayshach. It's referred to in the Sfarim as the 3 days of Chayshach, which is from the reasons why we fast on Asorah B'Teves, which the Avudraham writes that Asorah B'Teves is so chamur that if it would fall out on Shabbos, you would have to fast on Shabbos too. He bases this on a pasuk in Yecheskel, where it refers to Asorah B'Teves as Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, and it says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh on Yom Kippur as well. So Asorah B'Teves, similar to Yom Kippur, that overrides Shabbos, except Yom Kippur could fall out on Shabbos. Asorah B'Teves cannot fall out on Shabbos, and precisely for this reason, because they were concerned, what would we do if it fall out on Shabbos? You might have to fast. So they instituted that it should never be able to fall out on Shabbos, but it is the only fast day that can fall out on a Friday. So you see the chaimer of the fast, the fact that it's the only fast day that falls out on a Friday. As the Gemara calls it, Aschalta the Puranus, it's the beginning of the Puranis, the beginning of the Churban, the beginning of the Golus. And all the time we're reading Vayechi as we enter into these days. Vayechi, on the outside, certainly is a parasha very much related to this time frame. The parasha begins with Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim, and Rashi asks the question, Lama parasha Zuz Sesuma? Why is this parasha closed? It's a closed parasha. There's no space between Vayigash and Vayechi. Just like we're now in a time that's closed. Prophecy, Yerushalayim, the Torah, there's a Sesima here. Sesima means a closing, a concealment. And Rashi says 2 reasons why the parasha is closed. One is because since Yaakov passes away, the eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people were closed. They began to put them into bondage, which the question that all the Mefarshim ask, because we know they didn't start the actual labor until after the last of the Shvatim died, which was Levi. Levi is the last of the Shvatim to die, and until Levi dies, no, there was no Shibud. What's Rashi talking about? What's Saras HaShibud? None of the Shvatim died yet. And until Levi passes away, we know it was 86 years. That's when Miriam was born. From when Miriam was born, that's why she was called Miriam, from Lashon Meriris. There's 86 years. That was the actual Shibud. So why does Rashi refer to here the Saras HaShibud when Yaakov passes away? So the Sfasemis writes, other Mefarshim says similar. It's Beruchnius. There was a spiritual bondage that began with the passing of Yaakov. That's why the Lashon is Einehem Velibam Shel Yisrael, their eyes and hearts. Leisasuru Acharei Levavchem Veacharei Einehem. Not their hands. They weren't actually laboring. They weren't actually in a physical bondage. It was a spiritual bondage. There was a chur. There was a feeling that they were in Golus. They didn't feel even that they were in Golus as long as Yaakov was alive. If you have Yaakov Avinu with you, you're in Eretz Yisrael wherever you go. But now that Yaakov passes away, they feel the Golus. They realize they're in Mitzrayim now, this concealment here. Similar to when Ezra passes away. Ezra passes away tonight. Tomorrow is the yahrzeit of Ezra. And other places can bring that it's also Lahavdil, the birth of Oisei HaIsh. Testeves was the birth of Oisei HaIsh. Nittel. So this, in the same vein, the Parsha talks to us about the passing of Yaakov Avinu. The era known as the Avos comes to an end. Ein Koyrin LaAvos Ela L'Shloisha. So just as prophecy comes to an end, the era of the patriarchs come to an end. Now we also find in this parasha a few times that the Torah talks to us about Histalkus HaShchina. The Shechina leaves Yaakov Avinu. One is here at the beginning of the parasha when he's about to bless Menashe and Ephraim, and he asks Yosef, Mi Eile? And as Rashi says, Bikesh Levarchem v'Nistalka Shechina Mimenu. The Shechina leaves him. Then we find this again by Revi, where it says, "Vayikra Yaakov el Bonav, Hey Osvu ve'Agidolachem, Bikesh legalos es haketz, v'nistalka mimenu shchina." The shchina leaves him. Later on, when he benches Binyamin, "Vila erev yichalek shalol, Vila erev," Rashi says, "Mishetishka shimshon shel Yisrael al yedei Nevuchadnezzar, sheyiglein lebavil." When the son of the Jewish people, when the glory of the Jews set, when the Nebuchadnezzar exiles them to Babylon, and that of course starts this week, it starts with the event that takes place, Asara B'Teves. So clearly, in the parsha there are hints, there are signs of the time, because we know that the parsha is always connected to the time that it's being read. The Torah is the blueprint of the world, not only in place, but also in time. So, time is a creation. The fact that we always read Vayechi in the month of Teves, Vayechi is related to Teves. And clearly here we see the parasha is talking to us here about similar situation Klal Yisrael is facing here as we are facing during the 3 days of darkness in Teves, Ches Tes Yud. But there's a depth to this too. First of all, the second interpretation of Rashi, why the parasha is closed, is Shabikesh legalos es haketz. He wants to reveal the end to his children. The nistam mimenu, and it's concealed from him. Why would he want to do that? And Rashi brings it twice in the parasha, here and by Revi'i. Here he says v'nistam, and there he says v'nistal kashchina mimenu. What's the purpose of revealing the ketz? What does that mean, literally, that he's telling them that Mashiach is not going to be here till Tes Teves of Tov Shinayin Hei? So what, would that be very good news for his children? Would they be very happy to hear that? What would be the purpose of telling them that? For what? They're going to gain nothing by knowing that it's going to be thousands of years that there's going to be Golus until we're going to be redeemed. So why would he want to reveal it at all? If it's going to happen tomorrow, and he's telling them that it's going to happen tomorrow, so that's great news. But if it's not going to happen right away anyway, why reveal it? What's the reason that he would want to reveal it? What's the whole idea of Giloy Haketz? There are many who learn that it means the Ketz of Golos Mitzrayim. It wasn't the Ketz of Mashiach, it was the Ketz of Golos Mitzrayim. But that doesn't really answer the question, because that's also not going to happen now. It's going to be another 210 years. So the Shvatim aren't going to live to see it. Neither are their children or grandchildren going to live to see it. It's first going to be the Dor Revi'i, it's going to be later on. So what would they gain by knowing that? And we spoke about this in the past, and especially now that we're in a year of a ketz, as we spoke about in the previous shiurim, the ketz of the Balatanya, the ketz of other svarim that also bring down the same ketz of Tov Shinayin Hei, v'yasho elef u'shva hameyos v'chamisha v'shivim, hey elef u'shva hameyos v'chamisha v'shivim. So we are now in a year of a ketz, so we can appreciate Rashi telling us that Bikesh Yaakov Legalis is Haketz. So what exactly is he trying to do? And perhaps the idea is he's not coming to say to his children when the Geula is going to come eventually, Be'ita, or even Achishana, way, way down the line. Because what would be the purpose of that? But he, as many tzaddikim in the past have tried, wanted to bring the ketz now. He was trying to be megala the ketz, meaning to make it happen now, not later, now, right now. Bikesh legalus is our ketz. What does that mean? So if we go through this parasha, we begin with Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lamus. So Rashi tells us right here that Yaakov doesn't live as long as his father. His father lives 180 years, he only lives 147. And Rashi quotes this pasuk, which is in the Haftarah this week, Vayikrevu Yemei David Lamus. David also doesn't live as long as his father. His father lives 80 years, he lives 70. According to one Gersa, his father lived 400 years, but it's mashmah that that's a tos. Yishai lived 80 years, David only 70. Yitzchak lives 180, Yaakov only lives 147. Why does he only live 147 years? Why doesn't he live 180? We know that by Avram Avinu, Rashi tells us that Avram didn't live as long as Yitzchak for a reason. He died 5 years earlier, so he shouldn't see Esav go off Latarbis Ra'a, so he dies 5 years earlier. Rashi tells us in Parashas, told us why. But here, this clearly, 33 years is a lot of, why does he lose 33 years? So the Balei Turim brings here a reason, because when Yaakov fled, when he ran away from Lavan, he said, Im asher timsa es Elohecha lo yichya. Lavan came running after Yaakov. And Lavan is demanding, he wants to know, who stole my trophim? Who stole my trophy? Who stole my idol, my bust that was in the shape of a human head? And as Chazal say, he used it to foresee the future. It would tell him what's going to happen. He ran into the room when they fled. And he didn't know where they were, so he ran into his room to look for his trophim, because he wanted to ask the trophim, where did they go? And there was no trophim. That's when he realized that it was stolen. So he ran after them, and Yaakov says, and with total confidence, because Yaakov couldn't fathom that any one of his people stole it, Im asher timsa es Elohecha lo yichya. Whoever took it will not live. Says the Balei Turim right here, the word yichya is equal to 33. Yud ches yud hei. So Yaakov loses 33 years. Difficult to understand why he would have to lose 33 years because he said that. Now there's another chazal, which we mentioned under by the Rosh Chodesh here, that in the previous parasha, when Paro asks Yaakov, how old are you? So Yaakov complains and he says, I'm 130. And he says, Me'at v'ro'im hoyu yemei shnei chayai, v'loi hisiku es yemei shnei chayai, v'zai b'mei megurehem. Few and bitter were the days of my life. Velohi sigu, Rashi adds the words, betoiva. They weren't as good. Because he can't mean to say, I didn't live as long. I didn't live as long. He's still living. He's not talking about him after death. What does he mean, velohi sigu? How does he mean? Maybe he will live. Maybe he'll live longer than them. So Rashi says, velohi sigu betoiva. No matter what, I didn't live a life like they did. I didn't live a full life like they did or a good life like they did because I suffered much more than he did. He suffered much more than they did. He suffered with Lavan, with Esav, with Rachel, dying prematurely, with Yosef, with Shimon, with Binyamin, and all the way down to the end. So he suffered a lot, and he looked at. That's why Paro asked him, how old are you? So in these psukim, where Paro asks him how old he is, and Yaakov tells him that he lived a very difficult life, there are 33 words. Says the Medrash, that's why he lost 33 years of his life. So what was it? Was it this or was it that? Is it because he said lo yichya? That was way before this. Or is it because of this? This came later. So how do we reconcile the two reasons why Yaakov loses 33 years? And why 33? Why the number 33? And this famous question that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks is, you can't count the first pasuk here as the 33 word. If Ayomer Paro Yaakov Kama Yemei Shnei Chayecha, is Paro asking Yaakov, how old are you? What? That's also part of the 33. So Yaakov is punished also and losing, it comes out here, 8 years, because Paro asked him a question. Okay, what Yaakov said, Yemei Shnei Megurai Shloishim Ma'as Shanim, if you count it up, the exact statement, the words that Yaakov says, the complaint, is not 33 words. It's less than that. We're including also the word Vayomer Paro el Yaakov, and also Vayomer Yaakov el Paroi, and the fact that Paro asked him how old you are. Why is he punished for that? So there's a famous Ruchaim Shmulevitz who says that the way Yaakov looked, if Paro wouldn't have seen him look so ancient, so depressed, wrinkled, He wouldn't ask them how old. Usually you don't ask someone how old are you. You don't find anywhere else someone, how old are you. It's not a nice thing to ask someone how old are you, especially when you know he's very old. You don't ask him how old are you. Why did he ask him that question? He asked him because he never saw a person look like that before. He never saw a person look so suffering and so in pain. So he just says, how old are you? Why? You look ancient. You look like you're 1,000 years old. So says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, he's punished for that. Because you're supposed to walk around with a smile. You're supposed to walk around looking young and youthful. You're not supposed to make people ask how old. That's the famous Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. So he says, therefore, Yaakov is punished for the question also, not just for what he actually says. And there are 33 words here, so he loses 33 years to his life. Okay, that's what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says. Perhaps we could say a little different on the same line. We once spoke about this, but it's Kedai just a little bit with a different twist. Concerning also the number 33. The number 33 is found in the previous parasha for the first time in Chumash, when it talks to us about how many Jews came down to Mitzrayim. There were 70 souls who came down to Mitzrayim, right? So the Torah tells us, first it talks about the children of Leah, and it says, after mentioning their names, Kol nefesh bonav u'benoysof shloishim v'shaloish, 33. So Rashi right away asks, if you count, you'll see there are only 32. Who's the 33rd nefesh? Yocheved. She'noilda bein hachoymais, b'chnisosan lo'ir. She was born among, in between the walls, as they were entering Mitzrayim. Quotes the Pasuk in Pinchas, her birth was in Mitzrayim, but when her mother was pregnant with her, she was not in Mitzrayim. In other words, she first was born, and she's mashlim, the minion of Shivim, according to one opinion in the Medrash. Because the Medrash asks this on the 70, that there are only 69. Rashi's asking it on the 33, that there are only 32. It's the same question, really, but Rashi asks it over here. So it comes out, who's the 33rd soul? Who's the 33rd nefesh? Yocheved. Yocheved, that means Yocheved is concealed. It doesn't say in the Pasuk who it is. It's hidden. It just says the number. So therefore, the number 33 is a number that is hidden good. It's good, but it's hidden. And if you take a look at the beginning of Chumash and you count, what's the 33rd word of Chumash from Bereishis? Is Toiv. Vayar Elohim es ha'or ki Toiv. Toiv is the 33rd word of Chumash. So you'll say, so what? The Sfarim talk about that every number is associated with how many when it was said. Like for example, Chanukah is the 25th day of Kislev. So the 25th word from the beginning of Chumash is Or. So Or is Chaf Hei. The 33rd word is Toiv. And what is Toiv, Rashi tells us here? The hidden light. It's good, but it's hidden. It's the light that was concealed, that was put away for the future. We know, as the Sfarim say, Lag Ba'Omer is hinted here. Lag, 33rd day of the Omer, where Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai reveals the future. He reveals the Torah of the future, the Torah, Pnimiyas HaTorah, the Torah of Mashiach. And Rashi hints it to us, v'hivdiloi litzadikim le'osid lovai. Le'osid lovai is b'gematria Shimon ben Yochai. Because Rab Shimon ben Yochai was megala, that part of Torah that was hidden, that's good, but it's hidden. So that's 33. So the number 33, lag, gal, gal einai v'yabita neflois mitorah sefer. David HaMelech asks Hashem, please reveal to me the depth of the Torah. Reveal to me the hidden part of the Torah. Reveal to me that everything is good. See, the problem is that we experience many times, at least on the outside, what seems to be bad. But a Yid has to know that really it's good. Everything is good. And that message is told to us in this week's parasha, where Yosef says to the brothers, and Yosef clearly kept that in mind all the time. We don't find even once that Yosef ever complained. Yosef never complained whatsoever about his plight, and he went through a lot. Never. In fact, the Medrash says, "Vayhi ish matzliach." The Medrash brings a word on the word matzliach that Yosef was always jumping around from joy. He was constantly dancing. He was always besimcha. There's a famous Mor v'Shemesh on that pasuk that Yosef had such betochen that he was always besimcha. The brothers were not like that. They didn't have that gift as Yosef had, that he could be totally besimcha with betochen, he never complained one bit. And in fact, he says at the end of the parasha here, which is a very, very important message for all of us and for everyone, V'atem chashavtem olai ro'o Elohim chashava l'toiva. You thought bad. You thought you're going to do something bad to me. Hashem had it all in mind for the good. It's all good. The message is Alekim Chashav Alatayva. Everything is really good. Even that which we perceive as bad is really good. Yaakov Avinu, of course, we're talking about Yaakov Avinu now. We're talking about someone on a very high level. We can't even fathom the greatness of the Avos HaKadoshim. We can't even fathom Tzadikim lived 100 years ago. Certainly we can't fathom how great the Avos were. But we're allowed to explain, and at least the people of our Madrega, Chazal clearly had a taina to Yaakov for complaining. So the fact that he said, Ma'at Viraim, and the law he sigu b'toiva, Rashi is asked the word, and I was adds the word toiva, that Yaakov says, I didn't have a good life. Of course he believed that eventually it'll be understood that it's all good, but the fact is he perceived a lot of his life, a good part of his life, as bad. He said, Ma'at Viraim, Oyu Yimei Shnei Chayai. So Yaakov sort of lacked in the message of Gal, of the message of Lamed Gimel of 33, Toiv, that everything is Toiv. Toiv is the 33rd word of Chumash. And the message is everything is Toiv. Even what you perceive as Ra is Toiv. Yes, it's concealed. We see, concealed. Yocheved is concealed. Yocheved is not mentioned outright in the Pasuk, but she's the 33rd Nefesh. Even that which is concealed is good. And the idea is, if we look further on here in the parasha, Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, "V'ani b'voyi mi padon mesa olai Rachel be'eretz Kanaan." All the mefarshim ask that this pasuk is out of order here. What is it doing here? Yaakov says to Yosef, "Well, Yaakov sends a message to Yosef that he was sick, and Yosef comes to Manasseh and Ephraim, and Yaakov says to Yosef." Ephraim u'Menashe k'ru'uvein v'shimon yihiyu li. And then he says, V'ani b'vayimi padon meso alai Rachel b'eretz Kanaan b'adera. What's the connection? Rashi says the connection is, not really to here, but to before, that Yaakov says, I know you're upset that I didn't take your mother and bring her to the Maris HaMachpelah, and I'm asking you to do it, and I couldn't do it to your mother. How far was it already? But you should know, it was Alpi HaDibor. She had to be buried there. Why? Because there's going to be a Golus later on. The Jews are going to be exiled. So it starts this week. Hasar B'Tavis, another Remes Hasar B'Tavis. And she's going to need to be buried there because they're going to pass the road. They're going to be able to daven by her kever, and she's going to come out and she's going to cry. Kol Bara Manish Marashi brings down Yesh Sochel Lepulasech V'Shavu Banim Legvulam. But why is this pasuk over here? If anything, this pasuk should be at the beginning of the parasha where he asks Yosef to bury v'shachafti unesasani mimitzrayim ukvartani bekvurasam. Then he should say, "Okay, I know you're wondering why I didn't do it to your mother." So he should say, "Ani bevoy mipad meisalayra." That's not the pasuk says it over here, not over there. So all the mefarshim ask why. So perhaps the idea is like this: Yaakov is coming to explain why everything is happening. And he's taking the blame. He's saying it's all because Rachel died. If Rachel didn't die, none of this would have happened. What does that mean? If we go back to the parasha, starting from Vayetze already, continuing to Vayishlach, Vayeshev, Miketz, all the way till here, this all the chain of events, Yaakov staying an extra 6 years by Lavan, which he's punished because he stayed longer than he should, that's why for 22 years, Yosef has to leave him, and yet because of the lack of kibud avim, as a result that he stays longer, so he runs away from Lavan, because really he said to Lavan, "Okay, can I have my wife and children? I want to go." If he would have left then, probably the whole story with the trufim would not have happened, or even if Rachel stole the trufim, Lavan wouldn't have come running after them, because he wouldn't have noticed it till much later. The Mefarshim said the only reason that he came running after them was because they ran away in secret. So he ran to the room where he kept his trufim to ask, "Where are they?" Because he used to use it like it was his crystal ball, sort of. So he would ask it, "I see this." If they would have just parted when they were supposed to, when Yosef was born, he said, "Tanoi es noshaiva es yiladai, asher abadati oischa bohem ve'eilecha," and that's it. So that's when Lavan starts negotiating with him, and Yaakov is masking to stay another 6 years, which he shouldn't have done it. He says, "Zeli esrim shana beveisecha, I'm going to be punished for all these years, especially the extra years that I stayed. Zeli esrim shana beveisecha," as Rashi brings in Vayeshev. So as a result, Lavan runs to look for the trofim, doesn't find the trofim, comes running after Yaakov and asks Yaakov who stole the Teruvim, and Yaakov curses and says, Lo Yichya. That causes that Rachel Mesa Baderech. Now, because Rachel dies, what does Yaakov do? He takes the bed out of Leah's tent, out of Rachel's tent, and puts it in Bilhah's tent. And that starts the whole machlokes, really, between the brothers and Yosef HaTzadik. How? Because he felt, Yaakov knew, that Bilhah was Rachel's shivcha, but Bilhah is going to be the one who's going to bring up the children of Rachel, which she did. She brought up Yosef and Binyamin together with Dan and Naphtali. And Yaakov knew that they're on the same level. He was, even though they were shvachos, but he married them with chuppah v'kiddushin. They weren't pelakshim. They were regular noshim. But Reuven and the other shvatim, Reuven is the bechor. Remember, and until now, Reuven is the bechor. The bechor was not taken away from Reuven yet. So Reuven's the bechor. So Reuven feels that, if anything, it's his responsibility to demand Elboim Imoy, his mother, Leah. His father should have taken the bed. They were all maskim. Rachel is the Akeres Abayis. The bed of Yaakov belongs with Rachel. Most, she's the Iker. She's Akeres. She's Eshes Yaakov. But now that Rachel's not around, it should be Leah. Leah, in fact, married Yaakov first. It should be Leah, not Rachel. Why is it Bilhah? So Reuven felt, even though it was an act of impulse, this week's parasha, Pachas Kamayim Al Toysar, he ran and took the bed out. Bilbel Yitzuei Oviv. Had Rachel not died, this wouldn't have happened. Had Rachel not died, then the Bechorah would not have been taken away from Reuven. If the Bechorah wouldn't have been taken away from Reuven and given to Yosef, the jealousy that the brothers had for Yosef wouldn't have happened. Now, this continues with the dreams, with the chalomos. The chalom that Yosef had was Hashemesh v'hayoreach v'achar osa k'ychov v'mishtach v'mli. Who's the yoreach, right? Rashi brings down from Chazal, the yoreach, they all thought is Rachel, but Rachel's not going to bow. Rachel's dead. Rachel Mesa. Really, who is it? It's Bilhah. So the dream was not, there were no Dvarim B'Talim there at all. Yaakov knew that. The Shvatim looked at it as Dvarim B'Talim. So if we think about, we spoke about this once, Barich, just to mention one Indian in Parshas Vayeshev. Reuven is the one who tries to save. Vayishma Reuven Vayatzilehu Miyadim. Reuven tries to save. Why does Reuven try to save Yosef? Vayishma, so Vayishma, what did he hear? Vayishma Reuven. So the pasuk right before that says that Shimon says to Levi, let's take the dreamer and throw him into the pit. Who said that? If you learn Poshet Pshat in the Pasuk, it sounds like sarcasm. That they said, let's see what's going to be with his dreams. You know, big dream, a big talk. And now we're going to throw him into the pit. He's going to get killed. All his dreams are going to go down the drain. Says Rashi, they never said that. Ruach HaKodesh Oymeres Kein. Because they were not sarcastic. They meant L'shem Shemayim. There was no sarcasm over there. They wouldn't have spoken like that. They meant that they felt they were doing the right thing. As we spoke 2 weeks ago about Yeshiv, they felt he was a right, if there was a reason why they felt he had to be out of the picture. So, V'nira mayu chalei moisav, Hashem says that, the Baskol says that, Ruach HaKodesh Omer Eskein. The only one who heard it was Reuven, Vayishma Reuven. When Reuven heard, that says the Al-Gad Reuveni, when Reuven heard the V'nira mayu chalei moisav, meaning, you'll see that his dreams are going to all be fulfilled. Reuven, and only Reuven understood then, that the Yoreach is Bilhah. And if the Yoreach is Bilhah, he was not allowed to move the bed. Till now he thought he was right. That's why we find by Yoshev Reuven El Habor, Rashi says, where was he? He was doing tshuva. Osuk Pesako Yivetanisayal Shebilbo Yitzir. Now he's doing tshuva. This is 9 years later. Why is he doing tshuva now? Because he didn't know he did anything wrong till now. Till now, in his opinion, Bilhah was a shivcha. What's Yaakov doing, putting his bed in the tent of a shivcha? It's a bezoyin for his mother. He felt he had an obligation to take the bed out of there. But now, if the Yoreach is Bilhah in Yosef's dreams, and Yosef's dreams, he is Ruach HaKodesh, V'nira Mayu Chalim Yosef, the Baskel, he hears the Baskel. The other Shvatim didn't hear it. And again, he says, it's probably because I'm the oldest, so I'm the one who has to do something about it. Then it means that Bilhah is not a shivcha. She has the same status as one of the Imois. V'hu nar es b'nei Vilhah v'es b'nei Zilpa m'shei oviv, the Pasuk says. They considered wives, not shvachos. And Yosef knew that. So Yosef had respect and was makarev, the b'nei Bilhah and the b'nei Zilpa. And they were not. Why? Because l'shitasam, they held that the b'nei ashvachos were not on the same level as the rest of the shvatim. It wasn't that they were racists. They held that the b'nei ashvachos are not on the same level as they, like the Shevet Levi, there are Tzadikim, there are Kohanim, there are Talmidei Chachamim, and the B'nai HaShfachas, they're on a lower level.
Yosef was makar of them, and Yosef held punkt fact. It's not true at all. There's no difference. All the Shvatim are the same. Bilhah and Zilpah are on the same level as Rachel and Leah. And you see that one of the divasam ra'a that he brought to Yaakov was Shahu Mezalzlim, B'vnei HaShvachas, the Christ and Avadim. Even though later he sold as an Eved because he shouldn't have said it, but that's what was going on. This all started when Rachel died. Had Rachel not died, then the bed never would have been moved. Everyone would have been masking that the bed belongs there. Reuven would have been the Bechor, never taken away from him, because the only reason the Bechor is taken away from him is because he moved the bed. He wouldn't have moved the bed if Rachel was still alive. Yaakov now, in Parshas Vayechi, is looking back in history and the whole story with his children, with the brothers, with all that happens, and he's realizing it's all because of me. Va'ani b'vayi mipadon, meisa olai, Rachel. It's my fault. Because I said, lo yichya. And the reason why Ma'at V'royim Hoyu Yemesh Shnei, he's complaining. He's being punished for complaining. But it's not because there are 33 words over here. It happens to be that there are 33 words here. But the fact of the matter is he's going to be punished now because he's complaining and saying Ma'at V'royim. What's the reason why Ma'at V'royim? Because Rachel died. And why did Rachel die? Because he said Yichya. So now he's being punished because of this. Because he's complaining and he's saying Ma'at V'royim. He doesn't realize that everything is good. But right, so therefore, because everything he's not thanking and praising Hashem, he's complaining. Therefore, he's losing 33 years. Kemisper Yichya Lamid Gimel, and that's why the Psukim fits very well here. Because right after it says Ephraim uManasseh keRuven veShimon yiyuli, what does that mean? So Rashi says that I knew that one of my Shvatim are going to split. That means the Bechira is going to go to one of you. Of course, it was supposed to be Reuven. Now I'm giving that to you, Yosef. Meaning Yaakov here is officially designating Yosef as the Bechor. Because Rashi already tells us in Chumash before this, after the Maaseh of Bilhah, that the Pasuk says, Bechor Yaakov Reuven, that if afilu b'shas ha-kalkola, kro'oi Bechor, he's a Bechor l'nachla still. He's still considered a Bechor, he's the first of the Shvatim. So in what way did he lose the Bechorah? He lost the Bechorah, Rashi says, that his Shevet did not split into two. Yosef's Shevet split into two. So here, by saying Ephraim u'Manasseh k'Reuven v'Shimon yiyuli, and he's equating Reuven with Shimon, Reuven is like Shimon. Reuven is no different than Shimon. Reuven does not get any double. Ephraim and Manasseh are going to get double, meaning Yosef, you're going to get double. Your Shevet, Ephraim and Manasseh, is going to split into two. You're getting the Bechayra. Why? You know why? Because B'vayim Yipadon Meisolai Rachel. That's why. He said, the reason why I'm giving you the Bechayra is because Rachel died. And Rachel died because of me. It's my fault. If I wouldn't have cursed, if I wouldn't have said lo yichya, if I wouldn't have complained ma'at v'ra'im, which is because Rachel died. So ba'ani b'voyim yipadim b'esolai Rachel is a continuation. It belongs here. He's explaining why the bechira was given to Yosef, why it's not given to Reuven. And even though it's a bracha to Yosef, but on the other hand, Yaakov is saying it shouldn't have been that way. It wouldn't have had to have been that way. Had Rachel not died, had this whole story not happened, if Reuven would not have lost the Bechira, there never would have been a fight between Yosef and the Shvatim. But on the other hand, it's all toif, because you see, the whole story had to happen. It was all part of a divine plan, like everything else in history, which B'Shas Maisa doesn't make sense, but eventually at the end, it all makes sense. Klal Yisrael had to go down to Mitzrayim. That had to happen. Yaakov is blaming himself. True, but the fact is that Klal Yisrael had to go down to Mitzrayim. And the way that it happened, the Hishtalshlus HaInyanim, was that it happened in a way, in a peaceful way, meaning not that Yaakov had to be forced down to Mitzrayim, as the Gemara says, Ruyah B'shal Shaloiz Shel Barzel. Yaakov should have been taken down to Mitzrayim with chains, but it didn't happen that way. It happened in a peaceful way. He went down to see his son, and for many years, for 17 years, he's living in Mitzrayim, the Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim, Shva Esrei Shana, peacefully, in peace and tranquility, the last 17 years of his life. There's no chains, there's no official bondage. The real bondage starts afterwards. So it ends up being good. In fact, the best years of Yaakov's life are the last 17 years of his life, which he lived in Mitzrayim. So this idea that everything is good, and a Yid has to recognize that, is the message of Chodesh Teves. Teves, this month, Teves, is a month in which so many bad things happen, especially the days that we're in right now. Teves starts with a tes. Teves, Teves, it's good. The first tes in Chumash is in the word Toiv, in that 33rd word, Toiv. Ayarel him as Arki Toiv. That's the first tes in Chumash, as the Gemara says in Bava Kama. If a person sees a tes in a dream,
He knows things are going to be good because the first test is toiv. So the teves starts with a test. Teves is good. It's not good. The teretz is you have to see that it is good. You have to praise and thank Hashem, knowing that really it is good. Don't make the mistake that Yaakov made and say ma'at v'ro'im ho'yumei shnei chaya, and therefore Yaakov loses 33 years of his life. The Baal HaTurim brings here that in Tehillim there are 147 mizmorim. Kaminyan Shnais Yaakov. The Haftarah talks about David HaMelech. The Haftarah is Vayikrivu Yemei David Lamus. David also dies, like we mentioned before, before his the amount of years that his father lived. But then the Haftarah ends off again with the number 33. Will be Rishalayim Malach Shloishim V'Shaloish Shanim. David rules in Yerushalayim for 33 years. David was the Melech for 40 years. First 7 years in Hebron, and then 33 years he rules in Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim has to do with 33. David HaMelech was misaken what the pagam of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov perceived that his life was bad. David praises and thanks Hashem even for the bad. Mizmar leDavid bevarchay mipnei Avshalom benoi. He's running away from Avshalom and he's singing and he's dancing. His own son rebels against him and kicks him out of the palace, and he's singing and praising Hashem. For everything he's singing and praising Hashem. The interesting fact is that the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Teves, as mentioned in previous weeks, is LaHashem Iti Unaroimema Shemoi. Those four words, LaHashem Iti Unaroimema Shemoi, which David HaMelech said, Avarches Hashem Bechol Eis. That means every time. For everything I praise and I bless Hashem. Tomet Tehilosai Befi Hashem. Gadalu LaHashem Iti Unaroimem HaShemai. The words LaHashem Iti Unaroimem HaShemai, those four words, the last letters is Yudkei Vovkei, and that's the Tzir of Shem Havaya of Chodesh Teves. What does Chodesh Teves have to do with LaHashem Iti Unaroimem HaShemai? Iti is Begimatria Teves, but what does it have to do with it? Because that's the message of that we enter the month of Teves, the month of concealment, a month which seems that everything in this month is ra, choyshech, we lost prophecy, Yerushalayim is in a siege, the aschalt of the Puranusa, the Lele Teves Haruchim, but as we mentioned, Chanukah took us into Teves. Chanukah, the Yom Tov of Halal V'Hoydah, is escorted us into the month of Teves. The goal is, the purpose is, continue praising and thanking Hashem, even for what you perceive as bad, because it's really good. LaHashem Iti Unaroimem HaShemai. Do what David HaMelech did. David was misaken in those 33 years that Yaakov lost in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim Malach Shalosh Shloshim Shanim. Yerushalayim at that time was open. There was no siege during those 33 years. Yerushalayim Malach Shalosh Shloshim Shanim is the remez to Geula. Gal, 33 is Geula. Bikesh Yaakov Legaloi says Hakeitz. Gal, from the word Gilui, the Shoirish is Gal, which is 33. Yaakov wants to bring the Geula now. Yaakov wants, he's trying that he should be able to live those 33 years. He should be able to push through till 180. So Bikesh Legalis is our Kates. He wanted to bring the Kates right then and there. But Nistalkom Imenu Shechina, V'hischulei Medvarim Acheru. What happens to, Yaakov wants to be Megal of the Kates, but he can't. It wasn't the time for it. So, if anything, there was a steamer. Yaakov passes away. What day does Yaakov pass away? So, the way the Midrashim tell us, Bnei Yisrael brings it down, that Yaakov, we know, was Niftar on Sukkos. But he wasn't buried till Chanukah. Says the Shem Shmuel, he was buried Rosh Chodesh Teves. That's the same day that Esav gets killed. Because, you know, Esav got killed the same day that Yaakov is buried. Mochatzta Roish mi beis Rosha. He quotes the Pasuk in Chabakuk. Mochatzta Roish mi beis Rosha. The Roish of the Rosh, we know the head of Esav was cut off, the eyes, whatever the Gemara says in Saita. The Roish, Teves, is from the months of Esav, as the Zayir HaKadosh says. So the first day of Teves, the Roish of Teves, which is, incidentally is in the middle of Chanukah, and it's also the day mentioned in Megillas Esther when Achashverosh marries Esther, B'chodesh Ha'asiri Hu Chodesh Teves. That day Esav is killed, but that day Yaakov is buried. The Marasa Machpelah is closed. This parasha, Marasa Machpelah, is closed. It opens in Parshas Chayasara, and it closes in Parshas Vayechi. There's a stima, Stimas HaGolel. Yaakov is buried. There's no more. The Avos are now in concealment. The Marasa Machpelah is closed. We enter a dark period now. Teves, a parsha stuma. But in this parsha stuma, Yaakov wants to be megala the kates. Meaning, what a tzaddik wants, and certainly what one of the others want, will happen. Whatever a tzaddik wants, even if it didn't happen then, it will happen. The kates will be nizgala. And perhaps the remez is that the kates could be nizgala in chodesh teves dafka. Where do we find that Yaakov Avinu cries out to Hashem for the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael in the bracha of Dan? Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. He sees Shimshon, who he thinks is the Redeemer. Then Shimshon he sees being killed. Can't be him. Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. Ein lano lihisha ein el alavinu shabashamayim. Says the Avodas Yisrael. The Kashan Samagad writes, it doesn't say Hashem's name, not in Vayigash, not in Miketz. And for the first time that it says it is right here in the bracha of Yaakov to Dan. Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. Because Yudke Vavke is Gilui. In Miketz, there's still Hester upon him. Even in Vayigash, there's still Hester upon him. So there's no Hester upon him over here. Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. In the bracha of Dan, the bracha of Dan deserves to have Yudke Vavke for the first time right here in the bracha of Dan, which corresponds to Teves Ki Yodua, the 12 Shvatim out of 12 months. The 12 months correspond to the 12 Shvatim. And Dan is Chodesh Teves. The pasuk says, "Ayoyim ha'asiri nasi levnei Dan achiezer ben Amishadoi," and this is called the Chodesh ha'asiri. So the Chodesh ha'asiri is Kenegadon, who was the one who traveled 10th. Dan is from the lowest of the Shvatim. Teves is from the lowest of the months, as the Priit Tzadik writes by Arichus in his Maamar Manchanaka. Yaakov Avinu sees the end of time. Vayechi is the last sedra of Sefer Yetzira. Bereishis is called Sefer Ayosha, Sefer Yetzira. So the last parsha of Sefer Yetzira clearly corresponds to our time, to Ikvus of the Mashiach, Acharis Hayomim. In fact, the words Acharis Hayomim are mentioned for the first time here in Parshas Vayechi. Hey, Osvu Va'agid Olochem, Esa Sheyikro Eschem, the Acharis Hayomim. Yaakov sees what's going to happen by Acharis Hayomim. Parshas Vayechi, which is the acharis of all the sedras of Bereishis of Sefer Yetzira. And here he wants to be Megala the Kates, because that's where the Kates is going to be Nizgala. The Kates is going to be Nizgala, Ba'acharis Hayomim. Those 33 years will come back. Those 33 years that Yaakov lost, which David rectifies, B'Yerushalayim Molach Sharlash Shloshim Shanim. The concept of revelation, no more concealment, will happen, Ba'acharis Hayomim. Yaakov sees all the tzoras that are going to take place in Acharis Hayom. That's why this parasha is stuma. No parasha till now is stuma. The first parasha, of course, is Bereishis, which is the Reishis. And here's the Acharis Hayom. This parasha is stuma because we're living now in a closed and a concealed generation. Ikvus of the Mashiach, the lowest generation. And Yaakov's message to Klal Yisrael is, Hey Osfu, gather together. As long as Jews are together, they'll be able to get through all the difficult times. Hey Osfu. Which unfortunately we see, even in these days, how that's the one thing that Klal Yisrael somehow can't do is get together. And every machlokes sprouts, especially in a year like now, whenever it's a Shnas HaKeitz, there's always machlokes in that development. You see this throughout history, because clearly the Satan is trying to be ma'akev, the Geula from coming, as the generation of the Pnei Yeshua. The Chassam Sofer writes, the Mashiach would have come, but because of the machlokes between the Bionis and Eibushitz and the Yaakov Emden, it was pushed off who knows how many years, the Chassam Sofer writes. Because that was the Kates, Tov Ches, Tach, that time, the Zohar brings down the Kates in the year Tov Ches. And at that time, and so the Chassam Sofer asked, there were such great people living in the year Tov Ches. Why? Why didn't it happen? He said, it was the machlokes between those two. Their Talmidim, and that machlokes we suffer from till today, because all the machlokes afterwards was all because of that, really. Machlokes chsidim, misnagdim, it really is an offshoot of that machlokes. And the truth is, machlokes started with Yosef and the brothers. That's where it started. Mesa olai Rachel. Yaakov is taking responsibility for that. Bevoyi mipadon mesa olai Rachel is exactly the gematria asara b'teves. There's an asara b'teves because Yaakov takes the responsibility here. It's all because of Rachel's death. Because if not for that, Rachel would be buried in the Maris HaMachpelah with Yaakov.
And the reason why she can't be buried with Yaakov is because of her untimely death. And because of her untimely death, there has to be Golas. So if there has to be Golas, she can't be buried in the Marzeh Machpelah, as Rashi brings it. She has to be buried separately because that's the path that the Jews are going to take on their way out. But that was only because there had to be a Golas. If they didn't have to be a Golas, and she would have lived longer, obviously this is what was supposed to happen. But what if Rachel would have gone into Eretz Yisrael together with them, and she would have been buried in the Marzeh Machpelah together with Yaakov Avinu? There wouldn't have been a need for her to be buried separately because of later, of a future Golas that they have to pass by the lonely road there on the highway there, opposite the gas station, which used to be there when Kevah Rachel was a lonely little grave over there, when Klai Yisrael had to pass through that road. But there of Ephras Hibes Lochem. So this is what, why there's an Asara B'Tevis this week. It's all because of the story here, which starts with the death of Rachel. The whole Hishtal Shlosoyan Yonim. If you go through these parashas, all the parashas, starting with Vayetze, Vayishlav Vayetze, all the way down with Reuven, with the Bachloikos, Yosef and the brothers, and the Bechorah being taken away from Reuven and given to Yosef, and all this. And that's why he ends off when Yosef is amazed at the fact that Yaakov wants to give the bracha to Ephraim before Menashe, and Yosef is trying to maneuver his hands, and he's thinking for a minute, maybe Yaakov is losing his mind. And Yaakov says to him, Va'ani nosati lecha shchem achad alachecha, asher lokachti miyad ha'emayri v'charvi v'kashti. Mefarshim ask also, what is this pasuk doing here? And I gave you, either it means literally the city of Shechem, which what does that have to do with this? According to the first pshat in Rashi, this is the reward for you burying me and taking me to Eretz Yisrael. So why is it mentioned here? And according to the second pshat, which it means the bechayra, I'm giving you Shechem means the portion, the extra portion, Shechem achad, which I took away. Miyad ha'emayri, which means Esav, b'charbi u'b'kashli, b'tzloisi u'b'ba'usi. Yaakov's explaining this very question to Yosef. Yosef is wondering, why are you giving the b'chayra to Ephraim, and Asher's older? Yaakov is explaining to him, it's not genetics. You have to deserve it. It goes by who? I'm not the b'char. Esav is the b'char. But I took away the b'chayra from Esav, and I got it. And that I'm giving to you, and not to Reuven. So I'm not telling you now it's Ephraim and not Menashe. This all goes together now. Bechayra is not a genetic thing. You have to deserve the Bechayra. The Haraya, Yaakov has it, Esav does not. Yosef has it, Reuven does not. So Ephraim's going to have it, Menashe is not. This all goes together. That's what Yaakov is telling this to Yosef. And this is all because of Chatoyim. If not for what, if Esav was not was what he was supposed to be, Yaakov would not have the Bechayra. And if this whole story didn't happen with Reuven, Reuven would be the Bechayra. Teves has to do with the inyan of the Bechayra, because as Yedua, we mentioned this many times, what the Imre Noyam writes, that the Makos in Mitzrayim started in Chodesh Nisan. There are many Shittas that started in Chodesh Nisan. So that means Dam was in Nisan, and Sfardea was in Iyar, so it comes out that Choshech was in Kislev, which would make sense. So the Chol B'nai Yisrael HaYor B'Mosh Voisam, that's Chanukah. So when Makos Bechayra should have been Teves. So there's a gap. Teves, Shvat, Adar, Makos Bechayra is first in Nisan. So for 3 months, there were no Makos. Says the Imre Noyam that Teves was supposed to be the month in which Makos Bechayra was supposed to take place. It didn't happen then. It was pushed off to Chodesh Nisan. But he says, perhaps, that's what he writes, the Aschalta de Puranusa happened in Teves, Asara b'Teves. The Aschalta de Geula will happen in Teves. Teves will get back what it was supposed to get. It was supposed to get Makos Bechayrus, which is the revelation of Klal Yisrael as B'nei Bechayri Yisrael. That'll happen perhaps at one time it'll happen in Chodesh Teves. And that's why with these parashas, we're not about the Bechayra here, Vayichi, and the next week. B'nei Bechayri Yisrael, that phrase, that pasuk is in Parashas Shemais next week, which is also always read in Chodesh Teves. What's also very interesting, when this will end, Teves is Keneged Don. Don traveled 10th. Don was the one who sacrificed on the 10th day of Nisan. Because the first 12 days of Nisan, the Shvatim sacrificed. The first day was Yehuda, Nachshu ben Aminadav. Bayom ha'asiri, nosi levnei Don. What happened on Yud Nisan? So Yud Nisan is the day of Lemake Mitzrayim Bivchayrehem. The famous, that's why it's Shabbos Haggadah was Yud Nisan. The Bivchayrehem Mitzrayim were fighting each other. What does it mean, Lemake Mitzrayim Bivchayrehem? It should say, Lamake Bechayrei Mitzrayim. What does it mean, Lamake Mitzrayim Bivchayrei? Says the Medrash, Tosfos brings it down, that the Bechayrim protested in front of the palace. How you talking? You know that we're all going to be killed. You're not letting the Jews go. And there was a civil war. And it says more died during that civil war than by the actual Makkos Becharis. So that means Makkos Becharis really started Yud Nisan, and it completed Tesvav. Yud Nisan is done. Done is Teves. So Teves, the 10th month, is connected done, the 10th Shevet, and he sacrificed on the 10th day of Nisan, of which is Lamakei Mitzrayim B'vchayreim, which is a remez that Teves is a month that we can be zeichet to Lamakei Mitzrayim B'vchayreim, and Klal Yisrael will, the Bechayre of Klal Yisrael will be revealed. Nevuah will be restored. We find here that even when the Shechina left Yaakov, Yosef davens that the Shechina should return. And it does. Tirgalti Ruchi B'Yaakov, and once again, the Ruach HaKodesh envelops Yaakov Avinu, and he blesses Menashe and Ephraim. The same thing by the brachas. Nestalka Shechina Mimenu, and then he benches all the Shvatim, the Ruach HaKodesh returns. It leaves, but it comes back. In Teves, it went away. In Teves, it should come back. And the purpose is LaHashem Iti in the Raimim HaShemai, to praise Hashem for everything, even for what we don't perceive necessarily as being good. It's all good. Alekim Chashav Aletoiva. The Alshut brings down on the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Kapitel Samachay, it says, Oid Heim Medabrim V'ani Eshma. Pasuk says, before that there's a phrase, Terem Nikro Eilecha V'aneini, V'oid Heim Medabrim V'ani Eshma. Even before we daven, we get answered. Oid Heim Medabrim V'ani Eshma. So the Alshut says that true tefillah is that you don't have to ask. You praise Hashem, and then Hashem answers you. And the Bnei Yisrael brings this down in the Maamarim to Chanukah, on the Pasuk we say, it's a Pasuk in Shmuel, Mehulol, in Tehillim, Mehulol Ekra Hashem Umin Oivai Ivasheya. What does that mean? That when we praise Hashem, He'll save us from our enemies. He says like this, he says, sometimes we don't deserve that we can ask Hashem straight out, please heal the sick, please save us from this calamity, from this tragedy. He says, what do you do? Praise Hashem for that he does, that he's a Raifei Chaylim. And have in mind the Chaylim that you want that he should heal. But don't ask specifically, heal this one, heal that one. Maybe you don't deserve it. There's a Kitchug on our tefillah. But if you praise Hashem, then he's the Raifei Chaylim. And you have him, then he will be Raifei Chaylim. Mechayim Eisim, whatever it is that Hashem does, that one needs, praise him for that. That's what the Bnei Yisrael brings down. Mehulol Ekra Hashem, Umin Oivai Ivasheya. So the Alshut says the same thing. Oidei Medabrim, that they speak and praise Hashem. He brings the Gemara above Metziah, Peah Amid Beis, where the Gemara says, come out the same thing, that different Amoraim, when they said, Mashav Ruach, it started raining. They didn't have to ask for rain. They just said it. And then one of them said, Mechayim Esim, and they said, stop, there doesn't have to be Trias HaMesim now. Because they have the power, just by praising Hashem, they're able to bring about the Yeshuas. That's why on Shabbos it says, Shabbos Himi Lizoik, Urefuah Kroy Volovi. On Shabbos, you're not supposed to ask. Bakoshas Tzrochav, you're not supposed to ask on Shabbos. But what if a person needs a Yeshua on Shabbos? So Shabbos Himi Lizoik, you don't have to cry and ask Hashem. Just praise Him. So on Shabbos, there's a lot of praising going on. Haidah and all the Mizbari Tilm that we say in the Pesukah de Zimra and so on. That brings the Yeshua. And perhaps that's the remez here. That Shem Havaya of Chodesh Teves is LaHashem Iti Unaraim Mashemai. Because in Teves, there's a tremendous kitrug. This is when the Golas started. It's Aschalta de Paranusa. And perhaps our tefillahs won't accomplish like they do in other times of the year. So the Eitzah is, LaHashem Iti in the Raimim HaShemai. Praise Hashem. Praise and thank Hashem. That's all. And then the Yeshuas will come automatically. You can camouflage your requests in the Shvachim, in LaHashem Iti in the Raimim HaShemai. You Meshabeach Hashem for being a Raifei Chaylim and Mechaya Mesim and everything else, the Poikar HaKoris, v'chulu v'chulu. And then Hashem will make the Yeshua happen. Yeshua Osecha Kibisi Hashem. That could be perhaps why this, the amount of Pesukim in Parashas Vayechi is Pehei Peh. Pehei Pesukim, he brings it, Pe'el Peh. Pe'el Peh is talking about Nevuah, Pe'el Peh Adaber Boy. Yet in this Parsha, this is Talkus Hashchina. Yaakov Avinu is about to be a Megala, which he can't, there's a Sesima, but the Remez, how many Pesukim there are here, is Pe'el Peh. Peh, with the mouth, to praise Hashem with our mouths. Vayiftach, Hashem's vasai tiftach. Yiftach Hashem l'choy say tzori atoy. Psicha is the opposite of sesima. Sesima means close. Psicha means open. Tchias hameisim, bepischi l'chem is kivroi seichem. Peh el peh. The remez is, open your mouth. Open your mouth and praise Hashem when we enter a time of steam, when we enter a time of concealment as we are now in Chodesh Teves. And that's the 33. The Lamed Gimel Yocheved is, of course, the mother of the Redeemer. Yocheved is associated with Geula. She's the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. And when she's discussed next week, also in Teves, that these three parashas, Vayigash, Vayechi, Shemais, always read in Chodesh Teves, we have the number 33. Vayigash, you have the Shloshim V'Sholosh, referring to Yocheved. Here you have Yaakov loses his 33 years. David HaMelech is Melech in Yerushalayim, Shloshim V'Sholosh, as we spoke about before. And in Shemais, that 33rd Nefesh, who is she? She's revealed in Parashas Shemais. It's Shifra. Shifra Shemesh HaPeres Es HaVolad. Shifra beautifies the children, brings children into the world, brings the Geula, because Ein Ben David Ba'at She'ichu Kol Neshama She'beguf. She's the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'atero Isa Ki Toivu. She brings Moshe Rabbeinu into the world. She reveals the Geula. The Geula comes. Perhaps next we go into that more Ba'arichas. We should be Zaychetak at Chodesh Teves. Should be Nizgala. Openly as a good month, Toivais, a month of Toivais, a month of good. We shouldn't have to come on to knowing that it's good, but it's hidden, but it should be open good. By Ara Lehim Esar Ki Toiv, not only Gonis, but Begolui, Begiloi, Gilei HaKeitz, we should be Zeichet to Gilei HaKeitz, that which Yaakov Avinu wanted to do will happen, and all of us should experience the Keitz HaGeula, and only experience good, and Yeshuas and Refuas, and a lichtige chodesh teves, and none of us should have to fast this asara b'teves. It should be a yomtiv, as the Navi Zechariah says, Yehavchu yomim elu lemayadim liyomim tovim. And he's talking about also the tzaymo asiri, which is asara b'teves. The Chassam Sofer writes in the drushes that asara b'teves is really the beginning. If there's going to be another Tisha B'Av this year or a Shivasa b'tamas, you also have Chassam Sofer. It just depends on asara b'teves. So we're not fasting really now because of what happened, he says, in the past. We're fasting, Asara B'Teves, we're fasting that there shouldn't be this year a Shivasa B'Tamas and a Tisha B'Av. Because what's going to happen, this is the beginning, this is like the unit, the four fasts start Asara B'Teves. So there shouldn't be an Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves should be bottled. We say at Chanukah, Mishatishka Hachama at Shetichla Regel Menashuk. Shetichla Regel is B'Gematria Asara B'Teves. That hopefully the Ner Chanukah was such a great. The aura of Chanukah was so great that it removes the Asara B'Teves. There should be no more fast Asara B'Teves. But yet, Asara B'Teves, which is a Yom Tov, Asara B'Teves is B'Gematria Bris Sholoim. The Haftarah last week, when Asati Elohim Bris Sholoim, when Yidna B'Sholoim, and they're together, there won't be a fast of Asara B'Teves. We should all be Zoichetaka to that, and not have to fast this year, and celebrate Asara B'Teves in the Beis HaMikdash.